And may the word of the Lord be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodgings and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fishes are all we have, unless we go ourselves and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Just amazed at, I said to Deacon Mark before he came to proclaim the gospel, was those words that you heard from Paul about the Eucharist, what we call the Eucharist today. I know he was a couple of years after, 30s, 40s, and 50s. When was that written? The 40s or 30s? Late 30s? It was his first. No, Corinthians. That's Paul. 40s. So that was penned around in the 40s. And that's the first we hear of the actions of Jesus. You know? What developed into the liturgy in the Eucharist was a very simple meal. And yet, the first time it was written down was Paul. It wasn't the Gospels. The Gospels come after Paul by 20, 30, 40 years. So what we hear in the Gospels is much, much later and more developed. But it amazes me that here we are, 2,000 years later, and the words are being proclaimed to you as they were proclaimed to the early Christians, who weren't very many at that time, maybe a few hundred. And here we are today with, what, 2 billion Christians in the world, hearing that? Well, they're not all going to church, I know, but they're not all hearing it, sadly. But that's not why I'm here. I want to talk about the gospel. Is the story that you heard a literal account of an incident in the life of Jesus? Well, some people would say yes. If it is, then it's properly name the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, because a very few pieces of food somehow became enough to feed not only 5,000 but probably close to 10,000, because they don't count women at that time. You know, some would take this story literally and they would comment that you must have faith, you must believe Jesus had the power to do this, and he did it. And it shows that he is the Son of God. That's why he does miracles, is to prove he's the Son of God. But there were others who would say that if that is literally true, and this truly happened, then they would stop following Jesus. If Jesus knew how to multiply food, and he did not do it for everyone, and he didn't leave the ability with his disciples, even for us today, then he effectively turned his back on the hungry people of all time. Human hunger, by the way, is not a mere background for a one-time display of messianic power. The callousness is incredible. So many can't believe. But if it's a symbolic story, what is it trying to say? Well, the default mode of human consciousness is to notice what you do not have, and then you pull back into yourself. I don't have it. So you pull back into yourself. This is especially true when situations are difficult, in darkness or in affliction. It's rare when we judge that there is enough resources to meet the needs of others, or that we can count. And so we push the needs down the road. Instructing people to take care of themselves is not enough. We got to protect what we have. We can't share with you. Take care of yourselves. However, there's another way to do as Jesus did, and that is to gather up what you have and give thanks for whatever you have and appreciate the resources as a gift and not as an inadequacy. As gifts, they fall under the spiritual law of freely receiving, freely giving. And by the way, we receive everything in life. But anyways, freely giving comes from freely receiving. And when they are given away, they fall under a second spiritual law, which is if you hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give your life away for the kingdom, for others, you will have it. And when they are given away, they fall under a second spiritual law, I said, that you have. The people who receive the life that is given will be filled. And the people who give will have life given back to them. And that's the way it works. So the message today that we understand from Jesus is that he taught that in the kingdom, people look after one another. They take care of one another. They don't push away. So the miracle for some is that Jesus had the disciples share what little they had. And when people saw what they were doing, then the 5,000 who probably came there with a little snack in their pocket probably shared it with others. And once you start sharing at that level, then there's a lot left over. But we see, too, that Jesus wants to raise the level of consciousness in his disciples from one of fear and lack to one of peace and abundance that's displayed in his seeing everything as a gift and giving thanks. But Jesus reveals a lot more of what it means to be grateful and what it means to give. More importantly, he reveals who we are. And what the evangelists are trying to say to us in these scriptures is that we are to see in him the archetype, the blueprint, the mirror of what it means to be a human being. And so what took place in Jesus has to take place in you and I. Jesus, who is entirely God and entirely man, is like all of us. And everyone in this room is confronted with the same task that Jesus confronted. We're called upon to let the divine express itself freely and unfettered in ourselves. We should become like Jesus in the living out of our own lives. All too readily we make Jesus into a cult figure. But he was given to us as someone to follow. Jesus is not primarily an object of veneration. He is rather a subject of an internal process
of being filled with the divine fullness. In the Eastern Rite, in the Eastern Church, they call that deification. Scripture expresses this by images. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the light. So he opens up to us this inner access to the divine foundation with whom we want to be one with. And so as bread and wine in Eucharist, he is to enter into us so that we can sense the divine life in us that has been revealed by him. The symbols that we use for the Eucharist, I am the bread of life, I am the true vine, they were not made up to objectify their message, but to interiorize it. They open up the divine center of our life and they make it clear that Jesus Christ embodies a figure of our true redeemed being. When we look at him, that's what we are to be. That's what it means to be redeemed. This is what the Eucharist is supposed to accomplish in us. We're to become that which we receive. So it's not just the bread and the wine that are to be transformed, but you and me as well. As I said at the beginning of Mass, we come here to celebrate and to take part in the Paschal mystery. And that is, we come and we give ourselves with Jesus in the Spirit to the Father. That's what the Eucharist is all about. That's what the prayer is, the consecration is. So what happened in him is supposed to happen in us. You know, the scandal of Christianity is that God is in the material. That the material world and the spiritual world are one. There's not a spiritual world up there, out there someplace, where God is, and where we're trying to get him to come down. No, God is in the material. God is in the bread and the wine and you and me and in all things, in all creation. God is not separate from the world or from you or from me. The divine sleeps in you like a seed. As my friend Gene Houston says, we're God-seeded. Just as the seed developed in the human Jesus, so it is designed to awaken in you and me. To unfold in you, because God wants to unfold himself in you, through you, and show himself and meet the needs of others through you. So, we receive the bread and the wine. We call it Holy Communion, in the hopes that we wake up and we see that everything is holy. Not just the bread, but all bread is holy. Not just holy water, but all water is holy. All wine is holy. And all scotch. I mean, all creation is holy. God is in everything. But God is incomprehensible. You can take a grain of sand and look at it for hours and you couldn't comprehend that grain of sand, and yet God is in that and knows that grain of sand. God is in it all, and he's each and every one of us, and he's waiting for us to pour out our lives for others in the kingdom as Jesus did. Happy feast day, Corpus Christi.